Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, take your Bible, turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and for our Sunday, I think I got one more message. Maybe I may preach it in a few Wednesdays, Lord willing. We're going to bring James to a close right here on our Sunday morning. We're going to talk about prayer power. We're going to come in the backside of chapter 5. And, you know, when I get to the end of these teachings, we've been in James now for, what, 11 weeks now. So it's been a while. We've been like 3 months with James. And so when I let go of these, it's kind of like saying goodbye to an old friend, you know, that you may not see them again for a little while, but they're always there if you need them. But I just thank James for what he wrote. And he paid a high price to write to us what he wrote in the book of James. He gave his life to get this word to us. So Jesus, just tell him we said thank you. We said, thank you. There's some really good stuff here in James. It's going to help us. All right, so prayer power. So James has been very clear about the use of our tongue, hadn't he? Been real clear. He just absolutely comes right at you and talks about your tongue and how you speak to people is really important. That the tongue can be set on fire by heaven, or by hell, excuse me. But what we want is a tongue set on fire by heaven, right? So he talked a lot about the tongue and about our language and about how we speak to one another and how that can go in the wrong direction. Well, here at the end of chapter 5, James gives us one of the right ways, one of the key right ways to use our words. And James points us in the right direction by mentioning, just in these few verses we're going to read, 7 times he mentions the idea of prayer or praying in these short verses. So what's the best way to use your words? Well, talk to God with them. That's a great way to do it. So he points us in this direction of prayer. And I've discovered this. You're talking about getting the tongue under control. I've discovered this. The more I talk to God, the better I talk to people. You know that? It just happens that way. All right? And now I can also tell when I get a little unplugged from God. And Sandy can probably talk to you about that a little bit. But anyway, y'all pray for this girl. She's got to put up with me. All right. So James chapter 5. Let's start in verse number 12. And we're going to read all the way to verse number 20. James 5:12. But above all, my brethren, or my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. He's pulling this right just out of Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount, really. So right here, just real quick, because we're not going to spend a lot of time on 12. But my assignment this morning is in like 13 through 18. But he says right here, don't use your words to try to manipulate people or situations. That's the wrong way to use them. He says, be a person of your word. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Whatever you say, don't be shady with your words. Don't be coercive or trying to manipulate or trying to control or even going further to use your words to pronounce ill will on people or curses on people, that kind of thing. He said, just be the kind of person, to be the kind of people that people can trust what you say. Wouldn't that be a great business model if people would get a hold of that? Wouldn't that be a great way to run for political office? Well, never mind. Sorry about that. Shouldn't have went there, huh? Wouldn't that be a great way just to run your family and run the church? That we're just people of our word. We're just honest and open with one another. And you know what? The old saying said, if he said it, you can go to bank with it. Remember that old saying? We ought to be that kind of people, right? That's what he's talking about. Let's pick it up in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms or songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. That's pretty good news there, huh? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Say that with me. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. 3.5 years later, the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Lord, help us as we get into some of this. We all come from different experiences, different religious experiences, different church backgrounds. We've all got our experiences with you, and some of them with you good, and some of them with church not so good. As we just get into this subject, Lord, I just pray we just let your word be our guide. Let your truth just stand for what it is. And Lord, that these practices that you talk about would just become a part of who we are. Part of who we are, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the guidance, Lord. Thank you for the help it gives us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So did you see that in like 13 through 18? James is talking to us about prayer. Remember early on, I think it was the very first time we opened up the first chapter of James. We mentioned that according to tradition, James's nickname was what? Remember that? What was it? Anybody remember that? Camel knees. They called him Camel Knees because he was a man of prayer. He spent so much time in prayer on his knees that it literally calloused up his knees like somebody that would lay floor, you know, that kind of idea. All right. So he was called Camel Knees. So when James speaks to us about prayer, he's not just talking about some kind of theological reference point that he's got a scripture on or something like that. He's talking from experience that he knows that what God has done in his life and in all the church of Jerusalem that he oversaw, that it was because of his prayers and the people's prayers. So he's telling us that there is power in your prayers. Power in your prayer. If you're connected to Christ, there is power in your prayers. And he's hoping to convince you of that truth. And did you know that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, whether or not what you do with it will be up to you, but you and I have direct, immediate, constant access to God. I have people come to me all the time and say, well, Pastor, can you pray for me? Because I know you got a connection with God. Well, I hope I do, yeah. I certainly hope that's true of me. But you know, that's true of all of us in Christ. You realize that? That Jesus has opened up the way to where we can come boldly to the throne of grace and we can find help for whatever we need in the time of our trouble. You have direct, and that's what prayer is about. That's what getting that access and taking advantage of the promise and taking advantage of the covenant that's been opened up to us, the access to God and His presence and His power. I say it like this. We bring the prayer, God brings the power. Say it with me. We bring the prayer, God brings the power. You got to bring the prayer. God promised you'd bring the power. But guess what? No prayer, no power. That flips true right as well. That flips out as true. So we bring the prayer. God brings the power. And prayer is the secret strength of the church. Done corporately together, but also done privately as we kneel before God in our respective places and all that kind of thing. Prayer is the secret power of the church, and its lack of practice exposes our weakness and our lack of power. So prayer is our strength, not because of how long we pray, not because of how frequently we pray, or not because of how eloquently we pray. Prayer is our strength because of who we get in contact with when we pray. Prayer is powerful because prayer is how we get God involved in our situations, in our lives, and the lives of those we love. Amen. Prayer is one of those ways that God has chosen to share His power with us. There may be some other ways, but prayer is a key main way to where God says, I want to share my world with you. Right? So prayer is really, really important. We bring the prayer. God brings the power. And when I think about prayer, I think about this word, partnership. Partnership. Think of partnership when you think about prayer. Because see, we've been invited into this grand mystery. It still blows my mind to this day. And I understand parts of it, but it's still kind of one of those things you just accept by faith. The mystery how God Almighty has chosen in His sovereignty to work with us human beings. That's a great mystery. I don't know. If I was God, I don't know that I'd chose to work with me. Especially different times and seasons in my life. You know what I'm talking about? But God in His grand plan of things has chosen to partner with us, His people, to accomplish His plans and His purposes on the earth. It doesn't just happen. It happens when God finds a partner in the earth. In fact, there's a place in Ezekiel that says God looked all over the place for a partner. Couldn't find anybody. So prayer's about this partnership where we're partnering with God. We're sharing our life with God. And the most important thing that happens is not us sharing our life with God, is that God shares His life with us. That's what's going to change the day right there. Amen. So this idea of prayer, it's just a staggering thought that God desires to partner not with just the pastor, not with just Billy Graham and all those types, and all those wonderful men of God that God uses and we see them. No, not just them. Thank God for them. But you. Little old you. Little old me. God chooses, God desires to partner with you to redeem people and bring good into this crazy old world. And we're only going to be able to do it if we're in conversation locked in with Him. All right? So prayer is vital. Prayer is vital to this partnership. And we can go about it in our strength and our limited resources, or through prayer and staying in contact and aware of God. You can choose to live from God's strength, from God's perspective, and you can live not from your limited resources, you can live on the unlimited resources of heaven. Prayer avails us to that, all right, to that end. All right, and how much we pray and seek God's involvement will show which decision we made, to live in our strength or to live in God's strength. We choose. So let's kind of lay it out like this. James gives us some prescriptions. Dr. James just says, hey, let me write Pleasant Grove. I'm going to write him a prescription today. He's going to give us four of them. Prescription number one, he asks us a question. Is anyone among you suffering? Going through a hard time, a trial, a trouble. He's talked a lot about trouble in the letter. Coming to a close right here. Are you going through a hard time? Transition, maybe something unforeseen happened. Maybe it's a physical diagnosis over your life. Maybe it's a business situation, or maybe it's a relationship or a family member or something of that nature. It says, is anybody among you suffering? And I look at James when I read this and I said, yeah, from the pastor's perspective, a lot. There's a lot of people hurting. A lot of hurting people out there. A lot of people tied up in a lot of stuff. So what's the prescription that he says? If you're going through a hard time, what's one of the ways to get what you need? Let him pray. So he says, hey, hard time. Okay. Let me write this. I wish I had a pad. Old doctor's pad. Hard time. Pray. Pray. You know what I found out about when we go through hard times? We say a lot of the right things. We just say it to the wrong people. You know, the wrong people. Like the hairdresser and your best friend. And Mom and Them. Y'all know who Mom and Them are, right? Y'all know Mom and Them? And it's great to have friends and people to connect with and all that kind of thing. Say all those right things. I'm going to tell you how your life would drastically change if you begin to say all those things you were saying to everybody else. Some care for you, for sure. They just don't have the power to do anything about it. What if we said all those things and flipped this over here and we begin to talk to God like we would somebody else? James said that would change your life. Now, will God change the circumstances? Well, we got to leave all that to Him. He may not change the circumstances, but I can guarantee you 110% He will change you. And I found out a lot of things. A lot of mountains, He moves. Some mountains, He says, get your hiking boots on, boy. We're going to climb this one. Anybody ever had that conversation or that experience? So we're wanting the situation to change, but God really wants you to change is what He's after. And prayer will do that. So He says, if you're going through it, pray. All right? So God can change the circumstances, but He really wants to change you. Prayer is God's medicine for your pain. You got that? He's going to give you encouragement. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you wisdom, perspective, perseverance, all of those kind of things. Compassion, answers, relief, deliverance. He's got all of that. And whatever He deems necessary, He will answer in response to your prayer. Is any among you suffering? Pray. Talk to God about it. Now, here's the alternative. You know, life's just hard. It just is. Life on this planet, because of what happened in Genesis chapter 3 and what's been happening ever since, it's hard. It's a struggle. It's a struggle with work. It's a struggle with kids. And them kids. My goodness, them kids. They drive me crazy sometimes. We got some. It's a struggle with your spouse sometimes. It's a struggle with finances. It's a struggle with money and all these things and all these pressures come in. Life is hard now. It's not easy. So you can do life with God and get some things that you need and get some help and get a partnership going with Him. Or the alternative is you can just suffer. And you can suffer through it. And I had an old man tell me one time, on up in his 90s, and he looked at me and he said, "Ron, I was going through a hard time." He said, "Don't waste your sorrows. Don't waste your sorrows." And I had to go think about it. What do you mean, don't waste my sorrows? Well, because, see, sorrow and trouble and all that kind of thing can make you bitter and make you discouraged and make you spiral down into some kind of anxiety and darkness and all of that kind of thing. And you know what? When you let that happen to you without crying out to God, you have absolutely wasted those troubles. They've wasted. And you're not the better for it. Is anyone among you suffering? Prescription number one is what? Pray. Prayer is God's medicine for your pain. Look at this, Psalm 46. God is our refuge. When do you need a refuge? What is that anyway? It's like a hiding place, isn't it? A refuge is like a sanctuary. Like this is kind of a refuge here. What we got? It's our sanctuary. We come running in here 2 or 3 times a week. We just come running in here. Why? Because there's a war out there. And you better come in and get the instructions. You better come in and get a breath of life and fresh air with you because you need that refuge. And here, point blank, Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge. The war's raging. You're not going to stop that. Not till Jesus comes. That war's not going to stop. You're going to have a place to hide. You got to have a place to catch your breath. Anybody suffering? Take off running to God. Go find that refuge. I like to say it like this. Go get alone with God until you're not alone anymore. That's that idea of refuge. Get alone until you're not alone anymore. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That's pretty whole lot of shaking going on there. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, I'm going to be okay. All right. So I got 2 mandates from God. He gave it to me early on. He said this, I want you to do 2 things. I got 2 assignments. Get people in God's face and get people into God's word. Now this prayer thing's about getting in God's face now. All right. Prescription number 2. Dr. James says this. Is anybody cheerful? Having a good season? Good time? Maybe you got a windfall. Or maybe you got a promotion. Or maybe you opened up a new business. Or maybe something great's happened. Or a new relationship. Or something like that. Is anybody having a good time? Anybody going through a good season? And he says this. The prescription is sing. Let him sing psalms or songs is what we would say. Why is that important? Singing songs. It is super important for you to celebrate good times. Celebrate good times. Yeah, there you go. I think they were just playing down in Philadelphia the other night, weren't they? They sang it a little bit better than me. All right. But why and as God's people should we celebrate? Well, because it's gratitude, really. When we do it from this perspective that James is talking about, that we celebrate with God because we are absolutely grateful and we praise Him and we have a heart full of thanksgiving towards Him. Because we realize this, James already has told us, we realize that every good and perfect gift that we have comes down from the Father of lights. So whether that goodness is coming in the form of money, favor, promotion, peace, whatever it might be. Where'd it come from? It came from Him. So I'm going to sing. I'm not just going to sing just any old song. I'm going to sing a song to him. That's important. Why is it important? Because when you learn to celebrate your good times, it builds faith and strength in you. Because see, that suffering's over, it's still over there. It's going to happen. Suffering's seasonal and good times are seasonal. Things change on us. It's just part of life. So you learn to celebrate. It builds you up. Makes you stronger, right? And you recognize that it all comes from God. So get in there and sing. Say, Pastor, I can't sing very good. Well, there's a scripture for you. What does it say? Make a joyful noise. It can screech. It can sound terrible. God, hey, you know what it's like? We got a little grandbaby. I'm a grandpa now, right? Little guy's like 3 or 4 months old. But I also remember when Lily was little, and she would sing. You got little kids, grandkids, or people in your family, maybe your own. I mean, they get to singing, they can't sing. They don't know the words. They don't even know the beat. And they're all over the place with it. And what do you do when you look at them? And it ain't even that good. I mean, you can't cut a record with that deal. But what do you do? As a mom or dad, what do you do? It's just the greatest sound you ever heard. Why? It's just their heart. They're just expressing joy. God feels the same way when he hears me sing. It ain't very good. You know, you can't carry a tune in that bucket. It don't make no difference. Because God looks at you like he looks at that grandbaby. See, God don't need your good singing. He's got angels singing to him. Are you kidding me? He wants to hear your heart expressed to him. That's what he wants. And just like you look at that little grandchild, that little child, and your heart's filled with joy, it's amazing. I don't know how it works, but we have the ability to touch the heart of God with our song. So sing. Sing. And you know what? It's amazing. When I get to singing in my car, I sound just like Lauren Daigle. I mean, I sing pretty good. Chris Tomlin, man, I got that. You just turn it up. I sound just, how about that, Glenn, don't you? It just works like that, don't it? Sing a song to God. Prescription number 3. Is anyone among you sick? Certainly. He writes a prescription here. He says this. If you're sick, maybe sick in your emotions or sick in your body, specifically talking about body right here, but it could be any kind of sickness, really. Addictions, all that kind of stuff. Is anyone among you sick? Prescription number 3, he writes it out for us right here. He says, let him or her call for the elders, the leadership of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay, we got something here. Got sick, folks? Go to verse 15 and we'll back up a little bit. It says this, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Now, right here, James says that it's the Lord's will for the church to be a place of healing for his people. Jesus says something fascinating one time. He says that healing is the children's bread. Really? And Jesus went about doing good and healing all, didn't he? Everybody he came in contact with that had troubles, he healed them. And healing, there's a great mystery involved with healing. But the church is to be a place where people can find healing in whatever area they need. Long-term healing, maybe. Maybe it's a long-term process. Maybe it's a miracle. The church is to be a place. It's like a hospital where people can get well in their spirit, soul, and in their body. You hear what James is saying? Now, look what he says right there. Call for the elders of the church and pray over them, anointing them with oil. Okay, we got this oil. Okay? There's no magic in it. Nothing like that. But he says that you're to call leadership's attention, and then leadership is supposed to have the faith. I believe we've got a relationship here between leadership and the people, that the people ought to expect that the leader has power to help them. That's the first thing he says. That's responsibility for leadership. Help them somehow or another. Somehow or another. Even if it's just knowing that you're loved. So that's the greatest thing I can do in my life, or you can do in your life in serving God, is to love people. So if I pray for people, well, what if they don't get healed? Well, sometimes that happens. I don't know. I don't understand all that. But did I make them feel loved? That's where I live on all that. He's got the power. I'm not in the power business. I'm in the praying business. Does that make sense to you? I'm not in the healing business. There is no such thing as faith healers. No such thing. There is a healer, and it's our Lord. And there are people that have learned to pray, and whatever word when you bring that healing to people, or be that conduit, what we talked about a couple Wednesdays ago. And he said, I want specifically, he speaks about a specific practice that he wants in the church. And I don't know why the church has let go of this. We've let go of it and let it go. He said, I want you to anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Anoint them with oil. Well, what in the world is oil? What in the world? Oil in the scripture is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Let's say it like this. It's a symbol of God. So when somebody comes and they have a need, and I discern that they need to be anointed with oil, what I am doing, I usually take a dab. You know, some of y'all, I ought to pour the whole bottle on your head. Anyway. See if things will come out. You know what I'm saying? What am I doing? Because, see I got this little old thing right here. This little old vial. It's got the same oil right here. Poured in this little old vial. Because, see, you know, I'm locked and loaded all the time. Everywhere I go. It's on my key ring. If I got these keys with me, I got this. If I need to pray for somebody, hospitals, all things I do, all that kind of stuff. What are you doing when you put the oil on somebody's head or body part or whatever, wherever you want to put it? What are you doing? You are saying to this person and to God, I am bringing you into the middle of the situation. We need your involvement. Here is the symbol he's given us, oil. God, do something. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? No magic in the oil. I mean, you can take this oil and rub it everywhere else. Without faith, it's just oil. Why would God give us things like that? You know, we got communions kind of like that. It's talking about this supernatural thing that Jesus has done for us, and God gives us bread and wine. Gives us something physical to hold on to. Because we're human. We need that, don't we? We need something that's material or concrete that we can grab. Why oil? We say, Pastor, that's all weird stuff. Well, it might be. But you need some of this stuff to help you process it all. And as a leader, it's my job to bring you back in touch with God. So, because if you got sickness in your body, that's a hard time. That's a very difficult time. And you can get into a lot of darkness, and the enemy speaks to you things that absolutely will tear you apart. Steal, kill, and destroy. And when you come in contact with a person of faith, it's to bring you, not in contact with that person, it's to bring you in contact with him again. That's what the oil's about. It's to remind us all. The preacher didn't do the healing. The oil didn't do the healing, but the oil that the God, it symbolizes God. God did the healing. Does that make sense to you? Are y'all tracking with me on that? All right. And it's important to pray the prayer of faith. Now, what's the prayer of faith? Well, the prayer of faith is the prayer that believes God's up to something. And God can and will do something. Whether that may be strength to endure it. It might be the revelation of a pathway of healing, a connection with a physician, connection with somebody who has a gift of healing, the scripture talks about. All of that kind of thing. See, we messed up in COVID. Oh, Lord, we don't want to go back there, do we? We messed up in COVID. We shut the church down. Shame on us. We know that now. At least I do. You know what should have happened? Every preacher in the county should have got a bottle of oil. Said, y'all come on in here. What if I get sick? You ain't got no more faith in that? As a leader? Now, I'm not talking about y'all. You ain't got no more faith in that? Well, you need to get in line and get prayed for that. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying we missed a grand opportunity and we've lost influence in the process because of it. So if something else breaks out, you may not come. I'll be here. And we'll open up the doors. And you may not have the faith to come. Don't come if you don't have that. But we're going to open up the house. And Lee County is going to know. There's people down there to pray for you. I heard Granny got healed last week. Let's go. You know what I'm talking about? And you say, well, you can't presume God will heal. No, I can't. I will not. But I will pray in faith. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. You make me want to jump and stuff. All right. Y'all good? See, prescription number two, number one and number two, we're pretty good with that. Just pray, stay home, it's quiet, it's easy. This gets a little rowdy sometimes for people. It's just scripture now. That's what I'm saying about your experiences and your tradition. Just let scripture dictate that, right? It needs to for me too. All right, so now, prescription number four. I'm almost done. Prescription number four. He says, confess your trespasses to one another. So what's trespassing? All you hunters, what is trespassing? That's when you step across a line you know you're not supposed to step across. That's on purpose, ain't it? And he says, if you stepped across God's line of right and wrong, he said, here's the help you need. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, we're not talking about standing up in church and confessing all your sins. I don't recommend that. Most folks don't know what to do with that, or they do something wrong with that. But maybe there's somebody you've wronged. Confession is important. What do they say about confession? Confession is good for the soul. Sets you free, doesn't it? Sets you free. This is about prayer power for forgiveness. Helping somebody get back right with God. Sins come in. So now we got a sin problem. Right, now, so let's lay all this out. Did you notice that? Get God involved in the bad times. Get God involved in the good times. Get God involved in the sick times. Get God involved in the sinful times. Get God involved all the times. You see what he's saying? That we ought to be the kind of people that respond to anything in life that comes to me. Whether it's help me God, bless me God, thank you God. It's always centered around him. That's what he's after. Then he turns our hearts to Elijah to show us the power of prayer. He turns us to that great prophet Elijah. Now the story he refers to, you can go to 1 Kings 17 and 18 and read it. It's a famous account of what we call the showdown on Mount Carmel, that kind of deal. He is having confrontation with the wicked king Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. And there's a showdown. And this is what he says. The end of verse 16, he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Notice it didn't say Elijah wished things would change. He hoped things would change. He hoped the world would get better. It says Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed and things changed. And this is implying that the power did not come from Elijah. Elijah was not a powerful man. Elijah had a powerful God. Ron's not a powerful man. I just got a God that can do anything. You are not a powerful person, but you got a God who says that with him, all things are possible. That's where it cuts, and that's why the wording is the way it is. It's implying that the power came from God because Elijah prayed. And he talks about this idea of fervent prayer. It's energized prayer. It's not just sitting there praying over your meal kind of prayer. That's all fine. But it's a prayer that's energized and empowered by God. And he says that this kind of praying gets stuff done. He He prayed earnestly, intensely, with passion. Did you notice that phrase? Talking about Elijah, because we don't look at him like this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He says Elijah was just like you. Now, you read them Elijah stories and you didn't come across with that, did you? You're like, man, this guy calling down fire, doing stuff, stopping. He's controlling the weather. That's what in the world? So he's telling us again, he's a human being just like us. Right? So what's he saying? He's just an ordinary person, just like you. Implying that if Elijah can do it, you can do it too. Now you do what? Pray. Control the weather? No, pray. Bring fire down for him? No, pray. If Elijah can pray like that, you can pray too, and who knows what God will do. And what he's saying is, God can use your prayer. He used Elijah's prayers to move heaven and earth. And he's telling us that God can use your prayers, you. I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, a lot of the celebrity type preachers, they're not going to be at the first of the line. They're not going to have the biggest crowns. You know who's going to have the biggest crowns? Some grandmas and grandpas that pray and intercede for their families and their churches and their nation. I can guarantee you that's going to happen. Because the secret of the power is praying. And he wants you to know that God can use your prayers to move heaven and earth. I say it again. You bring the prayer, God brings the power. Say it with me again. You bring the prayer, God brings the power. Listen to this. Daniel 10:12. Then he said to me, this angel talking to Daniel, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." I have come, heaven came, because of that man's words. You giving God any words to work with? Are you? Over your family, maybe over your current situation? Are you giving God anything to come for? He told Daniel, "I have come because of your words." Now, if God decided right now to respond to your words, what would that look like? Would he even need to come? I have responded because of your words. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman avails much. I like how the Amplified says it. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, is able to accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. We bring the prayer, God brings the power. Come on, let's pray. Lord, help us. This is not a great mystery, really, that we've solved this morning. We kind of already know some of this. But Lord, because of all the spiritual warfare and all the stuff that's over our life, we just find it hard to pray. And no wonder our enemy fights us so much on this, because right behind our prayer is your power. Help us, Lord.